blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 242, the first two stanzas. Almighty God, thy lofty throne has justice for its cornerstone, and shining bright before thy face are truth and love and boundless grace. 1 and 2 of 242.
wish to read from God's holy and precious word out of the gospel according to Luke from chapter 19. But before that, we confess the Apostles' Creed with the Church of all ages. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 11 up to and including 27. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Reverend Verhoef, who is not able to preach as he is awaiting testing. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who does give thy Sabbath day, and who does give also from thy own hand, by thy own sending, men to go forth into the ministry to bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world, and that thy kingdom may come in, wilt thou remember our brother who is laid aside in these weeks? Thou knowest all the condition of his body and his weakness. Oh, that thou may remember and help in all these circumstances. And when the testing shall be done, if thou wilt give it in this coming week, wilt thou supply for doctors and give wisdom, give skill, and could it please thee to raise him up once again to do the many labors of his hands that thou hast given him to do in the midst of his congregation and in the midst of the denomination, in the midst of our theological school also for so many years, O Lord, that thou may look upon and remember us together in thy mercy. Do look on the need of our denomination, for the laborers are a few, but the harvest is white and ready, thou dost say. Then there are so many labors to do, and some are set aside, others are weak. And then, Lord, wilt thou bind it upon the hearts of each and every one, because there is also a rising generation that has a soul for a never-ending eternity. And who is it that shall go before them when thou wilt spare this world for the time to come? Oh, that thou may lay it also upon their young hearts, upon the hearts of fathers and of mothers, this great need, that thou may arise and that thou may look upon us in thy mercy, and that thou may give men who are truly converted by thee, wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be raised up, that they may be called, that they may be sent forth by thee in thy own time and in thy own way. It is all a miraculous way. It is all a supernatural way, because it is all thy way. It is a divine way. O Lord, then thou knowest that it is those whom we would never think. But Lord, it is all in thy counsel. Oh, could it please thee to arise and to look upon us. Remember us as a consistory also, when the need is so very great. Remember our brother. Thou bringest him into our midst again. In this afternoon hour we may acknowledge thee, but could it please thee to grant him a full measure of health and of strength again, that he may go in and out before us as aforetime, and that he may do once again the labors which have received the love of his heart for so many years in the midst of the congregations, and that thou may visit him with thy own blessing. Remember us as we do labor to do the work in the midst of the congregation. Wilt thou be on our right and on our left as minister, elders, and deacons, and that thou may give us wisdom how to go forward also into the future, that thou may supply for us in all of our needs. Do remember all those that mourn. Lord, thou knowest the place that they are. Thou knowest that which is heavy within their own hearts. And thou knowest the missing, and that we cannot take away from them. But thou art able to fill that empty place with thyself. And we say it so often, but oh, if it may only be experienced by them. For thou dost say, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And thou art the great comforter of the widows, and him that does care for the orphans and the fatherless, and the poor and the afflicted. But Lord, wilt thou teach us to mourn in a spiritual way, thou knowest, that we do not mourn as we ought to mourn, and there are so many things to mourn about when we only will look upon our own lives, for we have not to do with another. But oh, that when we may only look within our own hearts, oh, then for how much must we grieve, for how much must we sorrow, for how much must we smite upon our breast and say, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, that thou may increase that in the life of each and every one of thy own children, and give that it may be born in the hearts of each and every one of us, both young and old. Thou dost say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But we do not want to be poor in spirit, for we are ever wretched and proud in our hearts, and we will not have this man to reign over us. Oh, we are rebellious creatures, Lord. And we are those who need to be overcome. And we are those unto whom thou must become too strong. And we are enemies of thee. Oh, that arrow, oh, may it be shot forth this hour from the bow of him who does not know where to aim it. Oh, then it is from our side an aimless shooting, but thou knowest where to bring it in between the joints and the harness. Oh, Lord, that thou give that arrow to come in, and that a man, a woman, a boy, or girl may cry out in this day, carry me out of the battle, for I am sorely wounded. Oh, that there may be a true cry from the pit of corruption wherein we have brought ourselves, that we may be given to see our great wretchedness, our great misery. Oh, that we may be given to cry from the depths of the bottom of the sea when we are at our wit's end and we know nowhere anymore where to go. Oh, that we may cry unto the Lord in our trouble, and that he may hear us in all our distresses and deliver us, that we may say, oh, that men may praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, look upon those that do hunger and do thirst after righteousness. Lord, thou knowest where that they are. Thou hast wrought it in their heart, because we do not have it in our heart. And we ever are ever hungering and thirsting after all that is vain, carnal, and sinful, after all that cannot satisfy, but oh, to hunger and to thirst after righteousness. Oh, Lord, thou dost say that they shall be filled, but thou knowest that hunger and that thirst, oh, that can be for such a long time, and they do not know from where that can ever come. Oh, a righteousness, their own is as filthy rags. That is what they see. Oh, give them to see thy righteousness, what thou hast wrought, O Lord, in thy dear and only begotten Son, in thy blessed obedience to thy holy law, an obedience of complete perfection, acceptable unto that great judge. Oh, an obedience even unto death, that that price may be fully paid, that thou hast delivered him from death and the grave, that thou hast given the victory over death, hell, and the pit. Oh, Lord, it is all for thy people, and they can see so little of it. Thou standest so behind thy wall. Oh, show thyself, Lord, a little through the lattice, that they may be given to see, that they may be given to say, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Oh, that they might be given to see their beloved, even if it is for just a moment through the lattice. Oh, to have just one look of his blessed eye. Oh, an eye of favor.
Oh, a little kiss from his mouth that is so sweet for them. Oh, Lord, they cannot give it to themselves. They look for it. They draw nigh upon their knees for it. Oh, they search for it, Lord. On their side, it is all wrong. It is all so impossible. But thou dost give it unto those whom thou dost choose. And then at thy own time, when thou makest room for it time and time again, oh, bless us, Lord. Bless us out of thy heavenly store, which is so full, those greater storehouses of Joseph, when we are starving for food, when there is no food in this world. Oh, open them, Lord, and thou who hast provided in thy dear Son, oh, fulfill it now in the life of thy people. Look upon all the needy, parents, children, those that have no children, those that are not married. Remember those that are afflicted in mind or in body, the widows, widowers, orphans, handicapped, all in the midst of this world, this crooked world, wherein that we do live, all upside down because of our own sin, and all the consequences making men, children, to groan under them. Oh, could it be that they may groan even unto the God of heaven and of earth, to our Maker and our Creator and our Provider, and that thou may use all the blessings, all of the afflictions for a blessing also for our brother who does lie in the hospital in this day. Oh, heal him in the body. Supply for the need of his soul. Oh, bless the affliction, Lord. We cannot bring it in our own hearts. He cannot bring it in his own heart. Oh, that thou may do it for him and for each and every one of us. Take reasons out of thyself then to look upon us in thy mercy, forgiving and taking away all of the multitude of our iniquities. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 15, all the stanzas. Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. And what follows in all the stanzas of Psalter number 15. Beloved congregation, the words of our text can be found once again in the Gospel according to John, the first chapter. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, and thereof the verses 9, 10, and 11. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So far the words of our text. The true light, unknown and rejected. First unknown, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was unknown. Second, he was rejected. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Thus, the true light, unknown and rejected. First unknown, second rejected. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Of whom does John here speak? We read in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That is actually a continuation, of course, of the words that we have heard previously. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we have heard that that Word is the Son of God. That is, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he is called the Word. And then it says all things were made by him. And now it says that in him was life. So it is speaking about the creation of the world. And that is all made by him, but in him was also life. Life. Thus, it is speaking about that part of the creation which is animate, we say. That is, living things. A very special part of the creation of the whole world. The creation of the things that are not alive is already a very great wonder. Because the philosophers say, out of nothing comes nothing. And that is true, of course, with men. But that is not true with God. Because we read in God's Word, all things were made by him. Believe that, young people? You believe that? You're taught that by your father. You're taught that by your mother. You are taught that especially by the Holy Scriptures, are you not? You are taught that in our school, and now you go maybe to the university for this or for that, some of you. And then your professors will say, no, that is not true. But the facts and all science say otherwise. Well, you may ask him to prove it. Because he can never prove it. And the most sound and most reasonable and only true explanation for the existence of this world we find right here in the Holy Scriptures. But now John says, in him was life. Thus, that is actually another great wonder, is it not? That is really another world, we would say, within the world. Life on the earth. Because men do build things in the world and try to mimic the creation in them. But there is no ability of a man to give unto a plant, unto an animal, to a human being, life. And thus a very great wonder. Where does that all come from? In him was life, who has made all things. The Son of God. He is called in the Bible the fountain. And the fountain of life, out of which all of the life that is here in the world does come. That is not only in the creation of life to bring forth life, but it is also in the preservation of life. Because we read the apostle says that in him we live and we move and we have a being. But now the apostle John proceeds further. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Thus, he speaks not only about life, the trees, the animals, that is a very wonderful thing, but now he speaks about men, mankind. And the life was the light of men. Thus he distinguishes men from all the other life and that is in the world. The life of man, the light of men. What is the light of men? If you boys and girls, maybe you see that your teacher will draw sometimes a person and have a little light bulb by their head. Then you know what that means, right? Then you say, there is an idea, right? Light. Light. Sometimes when your teacher explains something to you, you did not understand, or your mother or father, and then you see it. You say, light. Light that is speaking about the mind. In him was life and that life was the light of men, that is speaking about the mind and the reasoning powers that the Lord has given unto mankind. That is, congregation, part of the wider aspect of the image of God in which he has created you and me. Thus, there is a creature that the Lord has made, which he has made so very much like unto himself, that he has communicated unto that creature the communicable attributes, not the attributes that he is not able to communicate that belong only to God, but there are other attributes which were communicable that he could give unto a creature. And he has given them unto mankind, and one of those is his reasonable mind. That is an aspect, you know, of his soul. And that he has given, that he has distinguished that creature, that human being above all the animals and above all the life that is in the midst of this world. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What a wonderful thing. The light of reason. It actually defies all the comprehension of mankind. All that natural light that men receive in this world has its origin in the fountain of life. It has its origin in the Son of God. And that is why all of the natural light that we have in this world, in the minds of men, is not to be despised. No, we can read of Bezalel. The Lord says of him to Moses, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. What were they building, children? They were building the tabernacle. The tabernacle, we would say, the house of the Lord that would go with them, travel with them in the wilderness. And then the Lord has given to these men special wisdom, because all that wisdom comes from the Lord. Do you need that too? If you have a hard time to do your work in school, do you fold your hands? And do you pray to the Lord? Or maybe sometimes you cannot fold your hands. You are in the middle of your class. But maybe it comes in your heart that you have a cry to the Lord. You may do that. You may do that. That is honoring to the Lord, because then you say to the Lord, Lord, thou dost give light. Thou art the light, and thou can give me understanding that I am able to do my work. Hiram building the temple, and other people in the world that have talents of art and music and all those things. Now we know much of that is abused, isn't it? All that is evil, that is sinful. But that does not make the wisdom that God gives to be sinful in itself. That comes out of the Son of God, that was the true light which lighteth every man and that cometh into the world. So what light has the Lord given to you? You say maybe not too much. Other people are given much more. And I only have, oh, do I have anything? Oh, we heard it from God's word, just 1 pound, and he went and he hid it in the earth, and then the Lord was angry, because he says, I gave you that pound, and you must use that pound, even if you do not have as many pounds or talents as other people, and the Lord has given them for a purpose, and that is for his own glory and honor, for his own service, and that you may also serve your fellow man. Do you ever think about that? Do you do that? Is that what your life now is all about, to love the Lord thy God above all things with all thy heart and all thy might and all thy strength? You know what the wicked, the Lord says of the wicked? God is not in all his thoughts. God is not in all his thoughts. Is that so of our life? As we go day by day, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Darkness. The light shineth in darkness. What is that now? Where did that darkness come from? Our children can tell the answer. You will say it is from sin. That is right. Then it is from the fall. Now just how dark has it become? Because there is much argument about that in the world. Just how dark has it become in the mind, in the intellect, that is an aspect of the soul? How dark has that now become in man? Some say, oh, it is not so dark. Others say, it has become very, very dark. What does the Word of God say about that? We read that here. It says, the light shineth in the darkness. And now what happens, boys and girls, if you take a light and it is dark, you shine the light in the dark. And you say, it is light. And the darkness disappears. And then the light overcomes the darkness. You know, the scientists talk about black holes in the universe. They say that light can go in, but light cannot come out. then it remains very, very dark. The darkness comprehended it not. That means it did not lay hold on it. It did not take possession of it. When I was just a little, not a little boy, when I was a young man, then I was driving in my car, and just for a few seconds, and I came across a little stream, and it was an extremely thick fog. And it was just for a few seconds, it was in the night, and my lights were on, and it became pitch black. And it was a good thing that it lasted a very short time. But that light, all the light from my lights could not be seen. No, the darkness, it says, comprehended it not. And now John speaks not about the natural lights. He is speaking about our understanding. He is speaking about that mind. He is speaking about the intellect of man. And what does he say? He says that that light is now shining, and that darkness is not comprehending it. It does not lay hold of it. It does not take possession of all that natural light that is shining all around each and every one of us. That is in nature. Because the Lord is evidencing His power in nature and His wisdom in nature. His divinity in nature that is all around us, and we should be able to see it. We should be able to behold it. And it also ought to draw us, but remains dark. Remains dark in our understanding. And Paul says that man is without excuse. Why? He says because the eternal power and the eternal Godhead is manifest all around us. The Lord shows it unto us. That light is shining, but the darkness of the soul of man does not comprehend it. Who now feels that? Who now feels that? Then you are walking through this world, and you may see all the glory of the creation, and you may experience the power of God in the snow, in the mountains, in the sunshine, in everything. And you may be walking there and you may say, it does nothing to me. I know it outwardly, but it does nothing to my heart. Oh, then I cannot bring it within my heart. Oh, then I do not receive properly that knowledge of God, of God the Father, of God the Son, of God the Holy Ghost. Through that light that is shining through all of those evidences. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So he was in the world. That is not yet speaking here about his incarnation. That is the next verse. When it says here he was in the world. But that Son of God was always in the world. He was the maker of the world. And he is with his spirit, with his power, with his majesty, always and always was in the world. And now the world is here condemned. The world is here condemned for the darkness that is in their mind, they're in their soul, because their eyes are blinded to him. Thus, the Apostle John is showing unto us the greatness of the depth of our fall. Thus, it is not just a light matter, but how far has man fallen? We read so often from the apostle, he says he has fallen dead in trespasses and in sins. What does that mean? Oh, John, the apostle John here, he is delving more into this. And then he is speaking about what that means to be dead. Then he is speaking what it means for the soul to be dead. And that soul, then he is speaking about, in the first place, the intellect, that mind, what it means for our mind to be dead in trespasses and in sins. And that all that light that the Lord is shining about us, and that it is absorbed just like young people, like that black hole. Oh, then it is just absorbed, and there is no light that is able to shine in that black hole of our soul. Oh, do you ever feel something of this? We are so blinded. The world is here condemned because of their ignorance. You say, ignorance, is that my own fault? Yes, that is my own fault, because we need to go back unto paradise for this. The depth of our fall, so dark that when that true light, he says it is not just the light, no, but it is the true light. So there is no light that is able to shine like that light. And when that light is shining, being in the world, he says, that is not far away from us, no, that is in the world all around us, that is in the world with us, and it does not enlighten us. The world knew him not in their understanding. Oh, teaching us, like our fathers say, how great our sins and miseries are. Oh, do you ever feel that? Do you ever grieve for this? Do you ever mourn for this? You say, I am without the knowledge of God. I have no light. I have no understanding of who God is. That whole spiritual world, everything is carnal. Everything is earthly. Everything is passing away. I have a soul. I know it, but I do not understand. If it never grieves us, then we cannot be cured from it. Say, can I be cured from that? Oh, yes, we can. Oh, yes, we can be cured from that. Because there is a great physician. But you know what that physician does first? He probes that wound. He first opens the wound. And all the dirt that is in that wound has to come out. It has to come out, and he has to go deep enough into that wound so that there is nothing that is there that can remain, that can fester, and that can bring forth infection. And thus also the Apostle John, he says the wound is severe, but is actually even deeper. It is actually even deeper. That is our second thought. That true light that is not only unknown, but that true light, he says, is also rejected. What do we read? He came unto his own. What does that mean? That means it is speaking about his incarnation now. When he came unto his own nation, he came unto his own people. That is the true light. Began to shine in that nation of the Jews. And then even before that it may shine in the ministration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John says that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. What is a witness? A witness is one who has seen, and then he can testify of what he has seen unto other people. The world did not see the light. And so the Lord sent John into the world, that he may testify that he may speak about the light. That was a special privilege to the Jews because John the Baptist was not sent to all the world. No, he was sent to only part of the world. Oh, the sovereignty of God. Oh, how free he is to say, I'm going to shed that light here unto that Jewish people only. And the rest are going to be excluded. What will we say to him? Can we say to him, what doest thou? He made us. Does he now have to restore us? Is that his obligation? Do we have a right to that? Oh, did we ever lose those rights? Did we ever become as one who is unworthy? Oh, that sovereignty of God that he now chooses that he will come unto us, congregation, unto the congregation of Fort McLeod, and that you may be born, young people, to your parents, who may bring you up under that truth. Oh, the sovereignty of God. Is that never a wonder to you? You ever bow your knees? Oh, you say, Lord, may this never testify against me because of the millions and billions of people in this world. And that light, oh, that is never coming to them. Maybe your next door neighbor. Oh, that light. Never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never heard of their own misery. Do not know. And now that light, oh, that sovereignty of God, oh, that would make us stand in awe of this King and make us bow under him. This witnessing of the light of John the Baptist had to do with more than just the natural light. He spoke in the first place of the mind and how all of the evidences that should give natural light to our understanding. Is that all that the Apostle John now speaks about? No. When he comes unto his own, the Lord, he comes unto his own and he is sending forth his servant, then he is speaking about more than natural light. He is speaking also about the light of redemption. Thus it is not only about the Son of God who has created the world, but it is also about the Son of God who has come to redeem the world, who has come to deliver his own church from their misery, from their wretchedness. That is now the testimony of Christ in his fullness, because that is not only about the might, that is not only about the power, that is also about the grace. That is also about the mercy and the love that is living in the heart of that Son of God for those who have sinned against himself. John was sent before, we read, to prepare the way before that light. And he was to bear witness of the light before that it came. Why? Because of the darkness. Because of the darkness that was in the world. Then the Lord sent a witness of the light to tell men, to instruct men in that light that was to come. The darkness was not only in the world. The darkness was also in the church. Because of what is the church made up. It is made up of the world, is it not? It is made up of people in the world. Oh, then that same blindness of mind that is in the world, That same blindness of mind is also in the church. Do you ever feel that? You ever say that I am just as without light as the world? Do you ever say, I am nothing but world? I am world sitting in the church with a nice suit and with a nice dress, but in my heart it is world. And in my mind, all there is nothing but ignorance of that true and that living God. There is actually no difference, you say. There is actually no difference between me and for everyone that is in the world. And yet there is a difference. And what is that difference? Well, we read, he came unto his own. That is congregation of difference. Thus, he came as a witness. And he is there as a witness. He is sending a witness of that light, of that true light, that is by his servants, that is by his holy word. And now it is that witness of the light that is missing in the world. It is missing out there. But that witness of the light is not missing here. No, that witness is going out Sabbath after Sabbath day. And that is only in the sovereign good pleasure of the Lord. But what is now the fruit of that witness? We want to sing first from the Song of Zacharias. Stanzas 3, 4, and 7. John was the prophet of the Lord, to go before his face, the herald which our Savior God sent to prepare his ways. And what follows, stanzas 3, 4, and 7 of the Song of Zacharias. He came unto his own. That is congregation different than that true light being in the world. And how is that different? Well, that is that he came very, very close. He came unto his own. Directly in the midst of them, he came to dwell among them. He sent a witness, John the Baptist. What is the purpose? The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Thus John was to be the means by which men may believe. That is through his witness bearing, when he spoke about the true light. That is, congregation, the significance of being under the word. That is, that it may, that we may be brought to know, that we may be given to see light, the true light, because otherwise we cannot see that light. Were your eyes ever opened under the preaching, under the reading of the word? Were your eyes ever opened that you may also see that true light? Oh, it can be just very, very little that we may see something of that light. But our eyes need to be opened for it. That is a supernatural thing. To sit under the word is natural. But now to have our eyes open for light, for understanding, to enter into our soul, that is a supernatural thing. And that is why, boys and girls, and when we come into God's house, and when the consistory comes through the door, and we stand here, and then you must also fold your hands and close your eyes and say, "Oh Lord, that I may see today." And the David, he says, that I may see the beauty of the Lord. That is what he wanted to see in the temple of the Lord. Oh, your eyes ever open to see the smallest part of him. How is a congregation? By nature. We read, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That is, now the rest of the depravity of our soul. So he began with the mind. And he says he is unknown to the world. When he made the world, he was in the world. Then the darkness of the understanding of the souls of men that did not perceive him. It did not comprehend him. And so he sent a witness, that the witness may bear witness of that light to his own, in order that all men may believe. And his own received him not. That is a testimony, congregation, that is to be, as it were, a shock. A shock. The horrific depravity of fallen mankind. That he, when they cannot see, and then he sends a witness of the light, that they may see, then they don't want him. Oh, his testimony speaks further than the mind now. Where is it going? You can answer that, young people. The soul, right? The mind, and then the affections and the will. And together, sometimes we call that the heart. The mind and the heart. Then it is not only the mind that cannot understand it, No, it is the heart, he says, that does not want him. Oh, that is now the depravity. John says conversion that is not now attained merely by instructing the minds of people and telling them about the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not enough. That is insufficient. He says, because the heart is corrupt. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He came unto his own, and his own received it not, him not. There you have it. There you have it. The great depth of the fall of man. The entire soul is darkened. It is corrupted. The Lord Jesus says, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That is now the pit. That is the pit that our sin has cast us into. That is the disposition of our heart. Every man, except for true conversion, of course, when he is conceived and born into this world. That is our sinful existence. Young people, there are many that say it is different than this. Or if they do not say it is different than this, they act or speak or preach like it is different from this. But it is no different from this. This is the unadulterated truth that comes out of the Word of God. And I know we don't want to hear it. It is not so nice to hear. It's not so nice to hear when a doctor tells us that we have an incurable disease either, is it? That is not so nice to hear. We don't want to hear it. But it is not wise when we will push away from us the truth, because it is only in the knowledge of that truth that there can be deliverance from that great pit wherein we have brought ourselves. There is no hope, congregation, in ourselves. That is now what we need to learn. We need to learn that not just here. We all know that, right? But we need to learn that here in our heart. We need to learn that by a bitter experience. Pelagianism, semi-Pelagianism, Arminianism, they are very, very dangerous doctrines, whether they are spoken of outright, and even more dangerous when they are laying under a cover, as it were. Because how many persons do not go over this world deceiving themselves as they are coming closer and closer to that great and never-ending eternity. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That is the way it is. That is the way it is. That is the way it was. And that is the way that it remains. Is there now hope then for that people? Oh yes, there is. Oh yes, there is. But certainly not in themselves. certainly not in any wisdom of their own, certainly not in any power of their own, certainly not in any desires that might live within their heart. No, there is no hope that is coming from such a person. As long as a man is blind, he cannot see the light, the natural light. Much less can he see the true light. And by nature, congregation, we do not believe we are blind. And not only do we not believe we are blind, we do not believe we are wicked. Especially when we go to church every Sunday. We do not believe that we are wicked. Or do you believe that you are wicked? The Lord Jesus says men love darkness rather than light. They love it. Do you believe that? The Pharisees were insulted by the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, are we blind also? Are you going to call us blind? The Lord Jesus says, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Says you do not acknowledge the depth of your fall. You do not acknowledge your blindness, your wickedness. And he says that is now the only way that you can be cured, if there may be an acknowledgement of the depth of the fall and of the sinfulness of your existence. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The church congregation needs a Savior. A Savior. Not just to purchase salvation, but also to apply it. Do you need a Savior? Also for the application of that salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ to you in a personal way. That is a people congregation who are so helpless. They are not able to open that word for themselves. They may read that word, but they have no light. And they don't understand that they have no light. There is a Christianity that teaches that a fallen man is just open to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, as it were, just waiting and waiting now for Jesus. That's all you need to do, is enlighten the mind. If you enlighten his mind, then he can be saved. That is unscriptural. It is also against the very experience that God's children do have to experience in their life. Because it is not only a darkened mind, but it is a heart that is full of enmity against him. It is an enmity that needs to be overcome, because they are not just ready, to receive the Lord Jesus. When the Lord is coming to his church, he does not find a people that are waiting for him. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. What did the Lord say? He says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" That was a Pharisee. That was a son of a Pharisee. And a man who lived in good conscience in his life. Or that true seeking, what is that? It is a consequence. It is a consequence of the Son of God who is seeking. Who has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And that seeking of a man is the fruit of the work of his spirit. What does that mean? You know what that means? That means there is hope. That means there is hope for the hardest heart that is here today. Which one of you is that? Whose heart is the hardest? Is that yours? That means there is hope for such a person. Because there is nothing that is to be expected from the side of a soul, mind, affections, and will that are fallen so deeply as ours. And now that Son of God knows, as it were, may we say it, the material with which he has to deal. The souls that need to be made alive, that are not able to bring forth one good thought, who cannot receive any of that light, that true light that cometh into the world, a mind which is completely darkened and that cannot receive that light, cannot comprehend that light, and a heart, loves, affections, and a will, desires, choices that will never choose for him. See no form. See no comeliness in him. He knows that. He knows that. He is the all-knowing God. You cannot make him precious to your soul, can you? Maybe you have tried to do that. Then you say, but I do not see it. And I cannot give myself to see it. And I cannot give myself to love him who God's people love. That is bad. That is bad. That is awful. That is abominable. But it is good you are honest. And you may know that it is just for such persons that he was sent into this world. Is that not a wonder? That there is a Savior sent by God into the world just for such persons as we are. That is not only willing, but that is also able to deliver us from such a great depth of misery that we have brought ourselves into? Oh, have you sinned it all away? Have you sinned it all away? Has it become, congregation, so impossible for this wretched creature ever to be delivered from that sinful life, from that sinful existence, in thought, in word, and in deed? Do you know what the Lord says of his Son? He says, I have called thee in righteousness. He says, I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee, that is through his own Son, and I will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, a light for a reason, he says, to open the blind eye. And to deliver those that are in the prison. To deliver those who are sitting in the darkness of the prison house. Now, what do you say of him? What do you say of him? Could you love such a Savior? Could you love such a Savior as this? Is such a Savior suitable for your case? Who is able to do it all from his own side? And who expects nothing to come from the side of a fallen, wretched sinner? Oh, could you look to such a one? Could you love such a one? Could you embrace such a one as suitable, congregation, for your own soul? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Amen. Oh Lord, we cannot give any light to ourselves or to one another. And that true light shineth, but thou knowest all our state and condition. It is all known to thee, because thou dost declare it unto us in thy word, dead in trespasses and sins. And thou sayest, for such thou art come, O give in our hearts then a cry to thee. O send us home, Lord, not without a blessing, not without a little light in our hearts, not without a new desire in our souls, that may go out after God and his dearly beloved Son, who has given his own life that he may deliver sinners from death. Be with us in the rest of this day. Forgive and take away our many sins, and help us in all the week that is to come. Spare each one of us from a sudden and an unprepared death. Give us wisdom, strength, diligence in all of our labors at home, at school, and abroad. And care for the need of our souls. Give us thoughts and meditations of Thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter is 389, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in Thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause Thy servant to be tried. Before Thy holy laws, no man is justified. 1, 2, and 4 of 389. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.